stay tuned for a word from the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for a word from the Lord. Today, Dr. Beach brings us his message given during the season of Lent, the ABCs of Fasting, Part 1.
In a few weeks, the church calendar begins with the season of Lent, which is a season the church over the years has set apart for Christians to examine themselves and to do some things spiritually to get themselves right with the Lord. And we begin Lent with the Ash Wednesday service, and as part of the service, the liturgy has me say this: I invite you to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Now, in recent years, and I say recent years, I mean the modern era of Christianity, we've heard a lot about self-examination and repentance, a lot about prayer, about self-denial, about reading and meditating on God's word, but we haven't heard much about fasting. And so what I want to do the next 3 weeks, including today, is to begin a series of sermons on fasting. Because during the season of Lent, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take some volunteer fast days. Now some of you say, oh my goodness, what is this about? Well, hang on, and hopefully you'll understand it better as we go through. Let me begin by saying this. Fasting is the volunteer giving up of food and drink for a specific period of time. The idea is to say no to the physical appetites and desires of the body, our flesh, bringing them under the subjection of the Holy Spirit, or under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Fasting is the voluntary giving up of food and drink for a specific period of time. And the idea is to say no to the physical desires and appetites of the body, and yes to the Holy Spirit. Now, you can fast other things than food. But for the purposes of our time, we're going to talk about food. But, for example, in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about married couples fasting intimacy in order to have a special time of prayer. In our modern era, you could fast the media, things like the radio, listening to the radio or TV or getting on the computer or listening to your iPod, whatever it might be. The idea is to say no to the flesh so that you can say yes to the Spirit. Now, before I go any further, let me say this, and I'll say it a few times in the next couple of weeks. When it comes to fasting food, if you are on any kind of medication, you should not do a fast without checking with your doctor and having your doctor guide it. If you're, say, 55 and older, you shouldn't consider this unless it's been a part of your lifestyle, unless you check with your doctor and get guidance. It's very important that you take that seriously, because our body is an incredible organism, but you can mess it up if you're not careful. I was thinking about fasting, and I was reminded of my first fast. It was between the summer of 9th and 10th grade. I went on a program called Operation Upstream, and it was 26 days where we went up in the North Georgia mountains and literally lived in the wilderness. It was fashioned after the Outward Bound program. And this was a really cool experience. I learned to love the wilderness that way. I learned about camping and rock climbing and hiking and orienteering and living off the land. And we did whitewater rafting, all these great things. Well, as part of this program, we had a three-day solo experience where they literally took us out in the middle of nowhere and dropped you by yourself. And you had to live for 3 days. And the instructions were we could live off the land, and they taught us how to do that, or you could fast. Well, in surveying my environment that I was in, there was nothing to really live off the land on. There was some sassafras stuff, and I made some sassafras tea, and that's just not the most pleasant thing to drink. And so I ended up fasting. And I remember that experience for me was not a very pleasant experience. I mean, being a teenager, all I could think about was hamburgers and, you know, I'm just so hungry. I really built it into something that wasn't, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. If you've had to have a physical or go to the doctor or a blood test or something, you've probably been asked to fast and not drink anything or eat anything. So it's not a totally foreign experience for us. But I don't know about you. When it comes to fasting, this is one of these things that's tough for me. I mean, I like to eat. I mean, let's just put it like it is. I like to eat. And especially meats and sweets. I mean, there's nothing like a nice grilled steak. Or being from the South, fried chicken. I mean, the kind made in a skillet, you know, the good fried chicken. Or meatloaf. Or macaroni and cheese. Or the mashed potatoes, the good kind with the gravy. And then you think about biscuits, gravy and biscuits. I mean, I just love that stuff. And the sweets, I mean, anything with chocolate, I mean, it's bad. I mean, chocolate fudge, chocolate cake, brownies. But we have, I know. But we have apple pie and pecan pie or pecan pie, depending on where you're from. Red velvet cake. I mean, we could just go on and on. And I just love to eat. And so it's really difficult for me to fast, and it has been throughout the years. But why fast? Why? Well, first, it's biblical. It's biblical. Jesus and his disciples fasted. In Matthew chapter 6, he says to his disciples, when you fast, and he gives some instructions, not if you fast. The assumption is that fasting is a part of it. Now, fasting's not for show. It's not for spiritual merit badges. It's not going to get you special kudos with God if you do it, but it will help your spiritual life. It is something that will help you grow in your spiritual walk. Now, in the Bible, fasting can mean several things. And you see these, the four things I'm going to give you, you see this in the Scripture when you see fasting mentioned. The first is that it means to dwell in the Lord. It's a time of dwelling in God. And where you really see this is when you do a word study on the word fast. I mean, think about a minute. When you hear the word fast, you immediately think of what? Quick. He's a fast runner. Or he rides his motorcycle too fast. We think of it in that context. But fasting can also mean this: resistant, loyal, firm, secure, constant. And so we get words like fastened or fastener or fastidious or fastness. Now that was one I didn't know the definition of, fastness. We just don't use that word, fastness. What does fastness mean? Well, listen, this is what it means. A fortified place, a stronghold or fortress, a remote or secret place. Now listen to the words of Psalm 91 in that context. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The first use of the word fast in the Bible, if you go from Genesis on, has to do with this context of dwelling in God, of getting under His huge arms, of using Him as our refuge. Deuteronomy 10:20 is an example of this. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him and take your oaths in His name. He is your praise. Fasting is a drawing unto the Lord. It's an entering into His presence. It's dwelling in Him. It's becoming more intimate with Him. When you fast, that's what happens. He's our stronghold. He's our fortified place. Fasting is an entering in to His dwelling place, entering into His presence. It's communing with Him. So that's the first aspect of fasting, is dwelling in the Lord. Secondly, it's denying oneself. In several scriptures, the word fast is interchanged with deny yourselves. That is to go without food. In Leviticus 23:27, we find this. The 10th day of the 7th month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord. In other words, in those early days of the scripture, when you see the phrase deny yourself, it was interchangeable with the word, with the concept of fasting, to go without food. And so I'm reading Jesus' words in Mark 8:34, which says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And so I'm often wondering now, did Jesus mean that fasting was to be built into the life of a disciple who followed him? Now, I have to be honest, I've not read any commentator that's ever said that. This is just Foley making a correlation of those words, deny yourself, and taking it back to the Old Testament meaning of what it meant to go without food. Regardless, the point is this. Fasting is a denial of oneself. It's saying no to the desires of the flesh and yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. A third thing. When you hear about fasting, it often is in context of disregarding one's sin. Disregarding one's sin. When we fast, oftentimes the Lord will reveal to us or make known to us the sin in our lives, so that then we can forsake them and turn for them. That's what we call repentance. When people in the Old Testament did this, they would often put on sackcloth and ashes to mourn their sins and the sins of the nation. Sometimes in the Old Testament, we see individuals that once they realized their sin, they went on a fast. Do you remember the story of David? Remember King David? He had all this wealth and all this power, and he's home from battle. He should have been out in battle, but he comes home and he sees this beautiful woman, Bathsheba. You remember the story? He has an affair with her. She gets pregnant. And so he tries to set it up so that it looks like her husband was a part of the deal. But the husband wouldn't have anything to do with it. He didn't know, but he was being an honorable man. And so when King David realized that wouldn't work, he sent him out to battle and told the commander, put him on the front line. In other words, put him out there where he's going to get killed. And he was killed. And Nathan the prophet comes to David, and he confronts him with his sin. And David realizes what he has done, and he's cut to the quick. He just feels awful. And so he immediately, and he's told that the child is going to die because of all this stuff. And so he immediately begins a fast, and he goes into mourning and fasting and prayer and interceding before the Lord. Today, when the Lord tells us our sin, we take it to the cross. Because Jesus has died for our sins, and there's nothing we can do to earn His forgiveness. We have to accept what He has done for us to earn His forgiveness. But fasting makes it possible for God to reveal to us our sin. Now, a lot of times that happens to me personally when I'm reading my scripture. I'm doing my Bible reading, and all of a sudden something will jump out, and ooh, that's me. And I'm convicted. Or sometimes I'm hearing a teaching or a sermon, and I say, oh, wow. But lately, something weird's been happening. Lately, he's been using dreams to reveal to me my sin when I've been fasting. I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I had a dream. It wasn't too long ago, and I didn't know any of the people in this dream. But in the dream, I realized I told them a big, fat lie. And then I woke up. And so all of a sudden, it made me start examining, okay, Foley, am I being honest? Are there areas in my life where I'm being deceitful? And so I've chewed on that and thought about that, and it hit me. I wonder how many times, you know, I'm making judgments about people's stuff in their life when it's in my life. But fasting, it brings us to a point where God can speak to us about the sin in our life, so that we might repent of it. Another thing about that fasting, the Scripture talks about fasting about, is that there are times in our life where we need direction from the Lord. I was reminded recently about a time in my life where I really needed direction, and I had to do this. I was in college, and I was taking, I was a part of Army ROTC. And actually, my plan was to be an airborne ranger chaplain. I was going to be a tough guy, but take the Lord to him. You know, be out front leading people to the Lord. And I was going to do that. I loved to jump out of airplanes and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was ready. I remember we were headed to a training exercise down to Fort Benning, Georgia. And I'm sitting on the bus, and I'm thinking about the future, and all of a sudden, the peace of God left me. And some of you know what I'm talking about when, you know, you have His, and it's gone, and you know something's not right, and you can't figure out what it is. And I knew it had something to do about my future. And so it literally took me going off for 3 days in the wilderness and praying and fasting for the Lord to reveal to me that I was to change my course. And I changed my course. I ended up becoming a youth pastor, and you know, and it all evolved to where I'm at now. I wouldn't be here if I had done that. And it took me fasting to hear from God. Starting this church came out of a time of prayer and fasting. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I was seeking God. What am I supposed to do in this situation that I'm in? And that's what He led. Start this church. Another aspect of fasting in the Scripture has to do with releasing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life or in situations that you're in. You may not remember this story. It's in Matthew 17. But when Jesus goes up on the mountain, and we call it the Mount of Transfiguration now, and He was with His disciples, and He was transfigured, and He comes back down the mountain. And in Matthew 17, He gets down to the bottom of the mountain, and listen to what happened. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus continues, "O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. So Jesus does this incredible thing, and then later His disciples are meeting with Him. Verse 19, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?' He replies, 'Because you have so little faith, I tell you. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" Now, if your Bible is like my Bible, that's verse 20. And then the next verse is verse 22. Wait a minute, what happened to verse 21? Well, there's a little footnote right there at the end of verse 20. And you go down and you read and I don't know why they did this. I forgot to look it up to tell you. But verse 21 says this, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." There are some things that have to be dealt with by prayer and fasting. Fasting releases a spiritual power that is, I just can't explain it. In our weakness, God is made strong. And so some of you will have situations like I've had in the past where you've needed to hear from God. You've needed to know. Or somebody in your life has a serious situation. And He's given us an incredible spiritual tool called fasting. Prayer and fasting. In my own life, I've often used this to pray about sermons that I knew were coming up, asking for God's anointing. Or if I was speaking at a conference or something, I would set aside a day or two for prayer and fasting and ask God's spiritual power to be released. Sometimes we've had healing services. Well, we have them now every week in our church, but before we'd have special healing conferences or special times for healing, and I'd set aside times for prayer and fasting so that the anointing of the Spirit could be released. Also, if you have habitual sins in your life or addictions, prayer and fasting gives you the power to overcome that, to be released from it. So why should we fast? It's biblical. It's biblical. But let me offer you a couple of other things here just in closing the sermon. There are also internal benefits. Internal benefits. I have found, and also studies show this among Christians, that when people fast, there's a new sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Lord that comes upon people. Another thing fasting does is it clears the mind so that you can think clearly, So often we live in a fog, and it helps us think with clarity. It builds into our life righteous convictions, internal things that get rooted. And it also strengthens the will. And the will is our chooser. You know, we choose what, yes, you know, you chose to come to church unless somebody drug you here this morning. But the will's our chooser. And fasting will help strengthen our ability to choose and to be obedient. And then there's some physical benefits, not just internal. We get rest for our digestive organs. I mean, they work all the time. And it is amazing what happens if you give them a break. It also helps with detoxification. That's a process in our body that takes all the bad stuff out of our body. Detoxification. It enhances healing of the body. Have you ever noticed those of you who have dogs or cats, when they kind of get sick, they stop eating? Well, there's something internal about that that helps enhance the healing process. It improves energy levels. Some people say it brings good skin. I'm not really into that, but that's what they say. And then I need to bring up the weight loss thing. Obviously, if you go on a long fast, you're going to lose some weight. But the problem is that as soon as you start eating again, guess what? It's all going to come back on. So you don't fast to lose weight. But here's what can happen. As you develop the discipline to say no, which fasting will help you do, then you develop an ability to say no to those things which you shouldn't be eating, which put all the weight on you. So in that way, it can help with weight loss. So why should we fast? It's biblical. There's internal benefits, and there's also physical benefits. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would teach us all on how this would apply to us and how you would want us to apply it in our lives. Help us not to just take on a new religious law, a new religious thing, but help us respond in obedience as your Spirit leads us, so that we might be the people you've called us to be, people full of your Spirit, alive to you, and living the abundant life. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Was Dr. Beach with today's message. For more information on this message and this ministry, please visit awordfromthelord.org. There you will find today's message and previously aired messages, where you can listen to them again and share them with friends and family. awordfromthelord.org has audio archives of Foley Beach's one-minute radio feature and much more. So visit awordfromthelord.org for audio, articles, and information about the ministry. You can find A Word from the Lord on Facebook, and be sure to click the like button to follow our feed on Facebook. You'll want to be sure to visit Foley's blog at bishopfoleybeach.blogspot.com. On the blog, you can read the many articles posted by Dr. Beach. Many of these blog entries are excerpts and full articles published in local publications. You can also follow Foley on Twitter. His Twitter address is twitter.com@foleybeach. If you have any comments or questions about the program, you can contact Dr. Beach by email at foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. Again, his email is foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. You can contact us by mail. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 636, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Our mailing address again is P.O. Box 636, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Whether you send us an email or write to us, we'd love to hear from you. A Word from the Lord is made possible by God's grace through the continued prayers and loving financial support from you. And we thank you for this opportunity to spread the hope of the gospel of Christ through this ministry. Join us again next time for the next broadcast of A Word from the Lord. For Dr. Beach and everyone here at A Word from the Lord, it is our prayer that you would be seeking a word from the Lord.